Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Second Chronicles chapter 26, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. He built Elath and restored it to Judah after that the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And he went forth and warred against the Philistines and brake down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabneh and the wall of Ashdod, and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gur Baal and the Mehunims. And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem, at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall, and fortified them. Also he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he had much cattle both in the low country and in the plains, husbandmen also and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. Moreover, Uzziah had a host of fighting men that went out to war by bands according to the number of their account by the hand of Jeiel the scribe and Maaseiah the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the chief of the fathers were, or of the mighty men of valor, were 2,600. And under their hand was an army, 300,000 and 7,500, that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him with 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, "It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense, to go out of the sanctuary. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God." Then Uzziah was wroth, and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, write. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial which belonged to the kings. For they said, "He is a leper," and Jotham his son reigned in his stead. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, we have another colorful character here in the monarchy of the southern kingdom, King Uzziah. Sometimes called Azariah in the account of the kings. So what do we see from King Uzziah here? Well, in the first section, verses 1 through 15, we see that he is a good king, and we note his godly acts. He sought for God. This is, of course, because of God's prior grace upon him, for there is none who seeks after God except the Lord changed the heart, and yet he's identified as a man who sought after God. He hearkened to the voice of the prophet Zechariah. He knew how to hear and obey God's word. He took heed to that which was spoken by the man of God in that day, and this too is commendable. The Lord made him to prosper. Note that it was not for his own righteousness. There was no quid pro quo. This is the grace and kindness and encouragement of the Lord. There is some confusion over this today, so whenever we come across it in Scripture, we stop and we try to clear up that confusion. There are those who say that when we do well and God rewards us for it, that is a kind of exchange. No, it's not, because our well-doing is always tainted with sin and never able to bear the scrutiny of God's righteous judgment. But the Lord does do us well. He does bless us with encouragements when we do good to encourage us to do more good. It's not a quid pro quo. It's not a meritorious reward. It is an encouragement to do good. That's how we must understand it. That does not violate the principle of grace. It rather advances the principle of grace. The goodness of God leads us to doing more good. That's exactly how we ought to understand it. So that's what we see here with King Uzziah. He was granted military and kingly success. He built towers. He digged wells. The Lord supplied him with a host of effective fighting men, and he equipped them well. All of these things are wonderful, as the old Puritans would say, magistratical acts. These are good things. These are what kings ought to be doing. Protecting their nation, advancing the true religion, casting out the idols of the land, protecting the citizenry, building the cities, digging wells, those kinds of things that are helpful to the advancement of the kingdom. And remember that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. All right, so that's clear. Now, all this we must see being given to him, not on account of his goodness, but encouragements to obedience, as we said. Remember that he set himself about these good things, working them by the use of means. Other kings have done the same thing, and they've had those same means blow up in their face, have they not? Right? So we must understand that when we work means and the Lord blesses those means, that it's not turning a crank. It's not automatic. That it is the Lord's blessing in those means. We ought not to expect the blessing without the means, and yet we must never trust the means, but we trust God who blesses. Okay, so all of that's clear. All right, so then in verse 16 we have that wonderful word in Scripture, but. And so we change everything up. What is being changed up here? Well, perhaps, it doesn't say, but I think we could make a good case for an implicit understanding here. Perhaps then, when he was strong, that with all of the blessings that he received, that he forgot that the Lord works in the means, and he began to trust in the means. Look at all the things that we put into place, and look at them, how they've come out exactly as we thought they would. Right? And so he begins to congratulate himself. When he was strong, it says, and I don't see here strong being strong in faith, but when all of these good providences have come from God, such that it appears that he is impregnable. Right? It's that kind of strength. It's a kind of carnal strength. And what do people do when they are endued with carnal strength? They do carnal things. And so what does he do? Well, he enters into the temple to burn incense like the priests. Notice that what he has chosen to do is not, okay, I'm going to go murder someone. I'm going to go steal from someone. I'm going to take somebody's vineyard like Ahab. Nothing like that. He chooses an activity that for all outward appearances seems to be a pious or holy activity. And yet, can we just say it, it appertained not to him. That's not the king's job. Can I make an application? I'm sorry to make it, but it's true. Sometime around election time, especially around presidential elections, you'll have high-profile pulpits having politicians in to speak on Sunday to the people of God. Can I just repeat what the Levites told Uzziah? It appertaineth not unto thee. This is not the pulpit for the magistrate to come and preach his brand of Christianopolitiki. That is not the place. He has his bully pulpit outside of the church. He can call a press conference at any time and get his message across. This is the place where the people of God come to hear the word of God, and it appertains not to politicians to be here. So, Uzziah went in to burn incense. That's something that belonged to the priests and to them only. And notice, what was the high priest's name? I forgot his name now in the reading. Azariah. This guy Azariah, what a hero he is. So Azariah sees Uzziah going in with the censer. He's already got the censer in his hand. In he goes into the temple. No, it's not said where he got this incense censer. But he's got it, and he's ready to burn incense to the Lord. He's got everything he needs. He's just going to go get some of the holy fire, and that's all he needs to put on this incense. And away he goes, and he'll be just like a priest doing priestly duties. And so the magistrate has completely obtruded himself into the church. That never means anything good, historically, biblically. And so Azariah follows him and says, "Stop!" Wow. Looking the king dead in the eye and telling him, "Stop." And just for backup, he brought 80 priests with him. Now notice, this is not a little room. He's into the temple. And so the high priest and 80 priests go with him, and they tell him, "It does not pertain to you. It is not your job. It is not your duty. The Lord has called the Levites near to burn incense to him, not the king. Stop, King Uzziah. Stop." Uzziah, for his part, does not like correction very much. Notice, when he was strong. Strong in the carnal sense. Whereas before he listened to the man of God, Zechariah, now he does not listen. And so he lifts up his incense censer to light it or something to go forward with his machination. And the Lord causes leprosy to rise up in his forehead. And notice now you have the curious and abominable thing of a leper being found in the middle of the courts of God. And so the priests look on him and say, "You got to get out of here." And he is very forward himself to go, because what's the next thing? If he hangs out as a leper in the court of God, what should he expect? That's right. Lightning from heaven. In some way to be taken out feet first if he does not get out of there now. It says he's very forward to go out. The priests tell him he must leave. And so he does. And being a leper, he is set apart in his own house for the rest of his days, and his son Jotham reigns as his gerent, as his representative for the rest of his days. It says he reigned 52 years, but part of that was he was in a separate house by himself as a leper. There's one more thing that I want us to understand here, and that is that as he sought to obtrude himself upon the worship of God with an innovation, so the Lord took the worship away from him. Think on it. Remember and hear the kind of providence that the Lord brought up upon King Uzziah for his foisting himself upon the worship of God rather than humbly receiving the advice and counsel and command of Scripture. What did the Lord do? He took it away from him. He took worship away from him such that no more throughout the rest of his days was he ever permitted to come into the worship service again. The Lord took church away from him. and took really all close human companionship away from him as well, being a leper. So then he died. And when he died, it says that they buried him in the field of the kings, not in the sepulchers of the kings, because they said, he is a leper. So even in his death, he is remembered as one who sinned against the Lord and was separated out from the worshiping assembly of the people of God. The Lord does not play lightly when people trample his worship, does he? All right, thus ends the reading of 2 Chronicles chapter 26.